Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon where I'm getting to spend some time with you prescribing hope for healthy families, and that is exactly what we are going to do today. We are a little more than halfway through the week. Yay! I feel like, I don't know about you, I've still got kids in school and college, and life is a little bit hectic with all of the comings and the goings and the school supplies and all of those kinds of things, and I am hanging in there with you. And a lot of these guests have just spoken to my heart as much as I hope they're speaking to yours. And whatever life stage you're in, you know, kids who are going back to school, you walk in to the store, you see those pencils, you're either the kind of person who just that just excites you, you can't wait to go see those fresh school supplies, or you're like, oh, that stage is over and I'm not sad about it, or, you know, whatever it is. But when you see those school supplies out in the store, take note of the families who are walking along those aisles. You will see all kinds of parents, grandparents, kids who are looking over backpacks and notebooks. And I just challenge you right here and right now to take some time to pray over those families. They don't even have to know that they're getting prayed over there, right there in the Walmart or wherever you're shopping. But go, and I challenge you to pray for those families. It is so hard to go back to school. There are so many fears and anxiety in school. It's just not like it was. And it doesn't matter where kids are going to school. They're all facing different kinds of challenges, and the world is just changing. So I encourage you to pray for those families who are going back to school. And that's what we're going to do with our guest here today. We are going to talk a lot about prayer, because I think so many times as parents in this day and age, we want a quick fix. We want something that is some sort of life hack or communication tool, or, you know, we want just some book that is going to magically shift our perspective, and we really undervalue the power of prayer. Praying for our kids is so important. So our guest today is the president of Moms in Prayer International. Sally Burke is a dynamic speaker and author, and she leads a worldwide ministry equipping and encouraging women in the transforming power of prayer. So like many of our guests, before being called into ministry, Sally was in business. She is actually a former space shuttle engineer, and I love that because I happen to be married to a rocket scientist. But after she was married and the birth of her first two children, she and her husband came to faith in Christ, and her introduction to Moms in Prayer in 1990 was life-changing. She became the director. Now she's the president. She'll be sharing her story, and we're so glad to have her. Sally, do we have you on the line?
Yes, you do. I love everything that you said, and I'm so excited to be with you guys. Oh my goodness, do our schools need prayer?
They absolutely do. Our schools do. Our families do. And Sally, I just see this so often as we're like, yeah. Well, of course we're going to pray. That's a given. But that is the first thing. That should be the go-to. That should be the primary weapon that we have, the primary coping mechanism that we have, the primary comfort thing that we go to God in prayer. So I would love to hear what started you on your journey of prayer, Sally.
Well, what I love is the example, because you guys are there, I believe, in Houston. So You got to imagine my husband and I would witness how man could defy gravity and reach for the stars. But for over 30 years now, I've witnessed how God works through ordinary women as they gather together 1 hour once a week and they pray. I have seen the hearts, the minds, the souls of students, their teachers, the administrators, their coaches, the bus drivers, families, whole school campuses transformed by the power of prayer. And when an extraordinary God touched ordinary life, we become his vessels in which his power is sent forth and his will is done there on that school campus as it is in heaven.
Well, that is pretty amazing because I just heard you say, I've seen it. Now you have seen, like you said, the miracle of taking men to space, but you are talking with passion and with just absolute love for the fact that you've seen God just change circumstances and change hearts and lives. How did you learn to pray, Sally?
Well, I was like a brand new Christian. My husband had come home from work one day and he was listening to radio interviews just like this one. And he heard the gospel truth and he believed, and he comes home and goes, Sally, I just received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And my first thought is, oh no, what has happened to my brilliant husband?
Wow.
And he bought me a Bible for Christmas. So I read the Bible and there he points me to John. And I saw that Jesus Christ was Lord. So I bowed my knee. We moved to another town, and my son was in kindergarten, and his best friend's mom invited me to hear about praying for children's schools. And I'm like, well, I'm in. Everything I read in the Bible, God blesses his people if they pray. And so I went, and Fern Nichols, our founder, shared about praying for children's schools. And all I heard her say was, if you pray, your kids will be blessed. So I went to that first group, never, ever praying out loud before. And they just welcomed me in. We used four simple steps. We praise God for who he is, according to Scripture. Silent confession, let go of all those fears, all those worries. Thanksgiving. And then we interceded using God's word. It took me a while to pray out loud, but we began to see the most amazing answers to prayer on this public school campus. We would witness over 15 teachers out of 22 come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they would start a teachers in prayer group. We'd watch students come here. The good news from a good news club that came on our public school campus, and over 100 would come once a month and hear. Many of them would receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And today, they're teachers, they're preachers, they're mighty men and women of God. I have seen with my own eyes and my kids' own school campuses what God is doing.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. And I keep going back to thinking about your husband coming to know the Lord, just hearing the gospel presented on the radio, much like we're doing right now here with American Family Radio, and to know that that ministry, that the power of God's word and just the power of the love that God has for you is so transforming and so absolutely incredible. And I hear, you know, when you accepted faith in Christ, Sally, you did two things. You embraced that faith, but you also took action. And I think sometimes that can be really scary for a lot of moms. They think, yeah, I want to pray, but maybe they're like you. They think, I've never prayed out loud before. So to walk into a group of strangers and think, oh, I have to pray, and somehow this is going to be a test of how good of a Christian I am and how much I know about the Bible, and that's really intimidating. What would you say to that mom who hasn't yet taken that step of action? Maybe she knows about prayer groups, but thinks, I don't know if that's for me.
Well, one, those women will welcome you in. And moms in prayer, nobody asked me, hey, are you a prayer expert? What's your prayer credentials? They just said, come. Our children are in desperate need of our prayers. You know, you think about since the beginning of time, in Genesis 3, when the world fell, the enemy has been after the hearts and minds and souls of the children of God. And God tells us that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. It's not against that teacher. It's not against that school board. It's not against that principal. It's a spiritual battle. And he tells us, put on that full armor of God, and then he tells us to pray. Pray is the most offensive, invasive weapon we can use in any time. So prayer undoes everything that the enemy has planned for your child. Not only does it do that, in Moms in Prayer, we pray God's word. And so that fulfills what God has planned for your children. You and I can imagine what we think our children should be, could be, and should do. And yet, God knows exactly. He tells us he has ordained every single one of their days. And as we pray his word, it doesn't come back void. It always fulfills his purpose. I mean, to watch a teacher who at one time did not even like Christians come to know Jesus, and then as you place your two children in her kindergarten class and all she wants to talk to you about is Jesus, well, her life is being fulfilled. when my children are grown now and they turn around, they say they are so grateful for all the moms that have prayed for them throughout the years. Their lives are being fulfilled through God's word and through the power of prayer. Nothing is greater than God or his word.
Well, I love you talking about that. It's an offensive strategy because so many times as moms, we think about what we're defending against for our kids. We're praying, you know, against all of these things that are seem like they're coming at them, but praying to equip and prepare them to meet the world, to be more than conquerors. That is so incredibly powerful. And like you said, praying the word of God. So if you're going into a prayer group, just open up a psalm and pray a scripture. You can definitely do that. And so many times in those kinds of instances, you know, God's word is so much powerful than our own, although God loves to hear the earnest pleas of our heart. Well, why should moms pray together? They're thinking, hey, I'm praying for my kids. I'm praying on my own. I'm doing just fine. Don't make me uncomfortable and tell me, you know, to get me convicted that I need to go join other moms. What are the benefits of praying together?
God gives us that example all throughout scripture. You know, you see the apostles, you know, they prayed together and turned this world upside down. But I love the example, and I use this often, of Moses. The children of Israel out in battle, Joshua is leading them. And as long as his arm is up, this intercession, he's interceding on behalf of the children of Israel, they're victorious. But we see in the story that his arm gets tired. So Aaron and Hur come alongside of him and hold up his arms until they are completely victorious. And God tells Moses, remember this, write this down, tell Moses, because they came against not the children of Israel, but God's very throne room. And our battle is won. As we enter into his throne room, he tells us, come boldly and confidently into my throne room of grace, and so you can have help and mercy in your time of need. Well, every single day is a battle, and every single day we need God. And as we pray, it's his power that's working in us and through us. He knows infinitely more than we know, and he knows how to bring the victory for your children. I mean, think about Daniel. Daniel and his friends were taken captive at a young age, and they were taught in pagan schools and even given pagan gods' names, and yet they weren't conformed to this world. They were transforming the minds of kings that fell on their knees and proclaimed God, who God was. Our children have been placed in this period of time for a mighty calling, a mighty purpose, and yet we must be praying for them. We must pray that God's will is done in their life as it is in heaven.
Well, I think there's so many parents out there that want to pray that. And Sally, when we think about when we hear other people pray, I know many listeners will have some specific person come to mind thinking, I love to hear this person pray. Just when they pray, it just feels like a certain just calm, a certain confidence, and we all want to emulate that. Maybe not pray like that specific person, but pray with that kind of confidence. How do you build confidence in praying like that?
We pray God's word. So you got to imagine when you come into, it's just 1 hour. Once a week, you come into our group, the leader already has a name, attribute, a character of God. I used to love to begin the year with Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. You know, he's right with us in our group, and he's right there on the school campus with our kids, and we would praise him. And pretty soon, you know, God enters those praises, and that mom is filled with confidence in God, not herself. Then we confess. We confess our fears, our worries, and then we thank God, and Thanksgiving is what I call Holy Spirit party. Every week we'd see an answer to prayer, whether it be kindergarten, learning to tie his shoe, a third grader finding a best friend in Jesus Christ, or like on my daughter's high school, Christian high school campus, 91 of her fellow students fell on their face to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then our confidence as we pray his word. But I love another mom to come alongside of me because she prays these Holy Spirit prayers I didn't even think about. She gave my child an eternal gift. And I will never miss that. As much as I travel, I want to be in my mom's and prayer group to do that.
Ooh, I want to hear more. We're going to talk specifically about praying for kids in school as we're in that back to school season and why it's so important and why we need everybody's prayers and how moms can join a moms in prayer group. We'll be right back with Sally Burke on the other side of this break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. And I sang in Christ alone. Welcome back, friends. That song is This Is My Song by North Point Worship and Mac Powell. And this is my song. I will praise my Savior all the day long because He has done such great things for me. And we are talking today about the great things that God wants to do for you in your life and the people that you love. And we have access to God through prayer. We're talking to Sally Burke. Now, she is a former space shuttle engineer who would send rockets to space, but now her ministry is sending prayers up to heaven, which is even more impressive and more powerful. And she is the president of Moms in Prayer International. And we're talking about her mission to have every school covered, to have every school covered with prayer. You heard me at the top of the show. I challenge you, I'm going to challenge you again to pray for families when you're out in the store and you see them school shopping. You see if you're at tax-free weekend, if you have that and you're thinking about the crowds, think about all the people that God has put in your path to pray specifically for. We encourage you to do that. If you've been listening in since January, you know that we have been working on 52 Habits for Healthy Families. And habit number one was prayer, because nothing else matters if we are not going to God in prayer. So, Sally, welcome. We're so glad to continue our conversation. I really want to know, how have you been personally transformed through prayer?
Well, just being in His presence. So prayer has opened my eyes to who He is, you know, who He says He is in scriptures, to get to know Him by name, by attribute, to be face to face with Him. And that's 2 Corinthians 3:18. We behold the Lord as if in the mirror, and the mirror is the Word of God, are being transformed into His likeness from glory to glory. So that's the number one. And then, two, to be able to witness Him at work. As you witness Him at work, I think that just holds up that shield of faith that knocks down every fiery giant dart that comes your way. So let's say your family's being under attack. Hold up that shield of faith. God is faithful. God, who began that good work in your child, will complete it until the day of Christ. That's His promise for us. And so I think it really has taught me a lot of who He is. Prayer isn't just giving God a laundry list. I mean, He knows our heart and He knows our heart's desire, but prayer is about getting to know who God is and what He wants us to do for his kingdom, for his righteousness. He wished none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And prayer is a part of preparing that heart to receive Jesus.
It absolutely is. And, you know, I think I've shared before and even this week that my grandmother, my granny, she was a praying lady. She prayed for her kids all the time. And you knew it. You knew that anytime you could call, you could ask her, she would pray for you. And my sister and I were actually estranged for about 10 years just because of some family relational brokenness that had happened. And she would tell both of us. Somehow she had a relationship with both of us, even when we didn't have one with each other. And she would say, I am praying and I know that God is going to restore this relationship. And we would both tell her, impossible, never going to happen. But it did happen. And when we reconciled Sally, we both looked at each other and said, we've got to go see Granny. We know that this happened. Aww. Because she prayed and we were able to go to her. It was right before she died and we were able to go to her. Oh my gosh, it's making me emotional. We were able to go to her together and say, this is the result of your prayer. We know there is no other way. So I know I have been personally transformed through prayer, and I really want to know what happens in a Moms in Prayer group. I actually have been to Moms in Prayer, so I know, but I want our listeners to know, what can they expect if they think, all right, you've got me interested. What would it be like if they go?
Well, you're going to come into usually somebody's house or possibly a church, and they're going to be women just like you who have wants and needs and fears and worries, and then the leader is going to welcome you in, and she's going to take you right to the Word of God. She's going to lift your thoughts to things above, where Christ is, who's ruling and reigning. And you're going to begin. You're not going to chit-chat. You're not going to talk about your problems. You're going to begin by praising Him. And the transformation of that, as you begin to praise Him, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you're going to time a silent. It's silent confession. And we, oh, Lord, I yelled at my child. I'm so sorry. I blew it here. I blew it there. And you confess it so that you can hear God's voice when you begin to intercede. Then it's a time of thanksgiving, as I told you. It's a time where we thank God for answers to prayer. And then you'll break up into two or threes, and you're going to pray. Like, let's say my one son. I was praying for him to hit a home run on the baseball team so he wouldn't sit on the bench all the time. But we were literally praying in our Moms in Prayer group. He was 12. May he do all things without grumbling and complaining. So he may be a pure and innocent, a child of God, holding out the word of life. And that coach comes up to me later that week and goes, your child's a Christian boy. And I'm like, how can you tell? He does all things without grumbling and complaining. God instantly caught my attention. It's like, my ways are as far as heaven's above. I have great plans for your son. It's not about hitting a home run. It's about me. And so we intercede back and forth. We put our child's name in scripture and we pray back and forth, back and forth. And then we may pray one concern, like may they find a best friend, or Lord, may they get caught for doing anything wrong that they're doing. And then we pray for a teacher. We love the teachers, and we pray for their salvation. May their eyes be open. May they turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, so they can be forgiven of their sins and placed among those who are sanctified by faith. And like I told, I've seen so many teachers and principals come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They'll come to me afterwards thanking me for their prayers, thanking other mothers for their prayers. And then we intercede for school campuses. We ask for His protection to be around them, wall of fire protection to be around, Your glory within. There have been so many school shootings that are stopped because those moms have been praying specifically for that. We pray for the principals, the ministries. We pray for the curriculum. We ask God to bring in godly values. And we end by praying that Moms in Prayer will stay pure, sanctified, set apart. And we pray for our leadership in Moms in Prayer. But that hour, believe it or not, it goes by fast. You wish you had more time. But it's simple. And like me, who was a never prayed before, brand new Christian, to go into that group and be a part of it. So So please come. And don't be afraid if you've never prayed out loud. Don't be afraid if you're a new Christian. I know you're listening out there. You're like, my child needs so much prayer. Come, come sacrifice that 1 hour once a week. We have women in all 50 states and over 150 countries. So you're not standing alone. You're standing shoulder to shoulder with women from around the world.
Well, I love that. And I'll tell you, the first time that I ever went to a Moms in Prayer group, it did. It took me off guard a little bit because you start off praying. There is no chit-chatting over cookies. Like, it is just, you get straight down to business. But I love that, Sally, because I think about, especially as moms, all of the time that we spend wondering and worrying about our kids, all the time we spend complaining about whatever life circumstances are there, or explaining why something is happening the way it is, or, you know, why our circumstances are what they are. But do we spend that much time in prayer? And so really flipping the narrative and starting with prayer, and you're still wondering and worrying, you're still complaining and explaining, but you're directing those thoughts and that intent to the King of the universe to get help. And I think that is so important, because for us, sometimes, you know, we'll think as women, we get together, we talk, and then at the end, like, we have a little 5-minute prayer. But this is a great opportunity to really learn how to be a prayer warrior, how to really hone your prayer. And you talked a little bit about praying scriptures, and the backfiring of that can happen is that my kids sometimes will get smart. And so they'll tell me something like, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. And I'll say, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then they say, it reminded me, because they'll say, do everything without complaining, mom. And then I'll say, be kind and tenderhearted, children. And we'll have a little scripture back and forth. But speak to the power of praying God's words back to him.
That is his will. How do we know God's going to answer our prayer? If we pray according to his will, and his will is the word. And his will, just like I used it with my son when he's 12 years old, my expectations are so much smaller than God's. God has infinite. He wants to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us. So he will be glorified in our child's life. So as you pray forth his word, that will be answered. That word will be answered. Our wishes, our dreams may not be, but his word is far greater. We will go through trials and tribulations. I think both my two boys have had life-altering diseases that have affected them. And I've been able to pray for them all the way through that, taking all my fears, all my worries, and watch God transform that to that peace that's beyond understanding, guarding my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Now, I would not change the men of God they would be. I would love to make their life easy, but God, in the midst of their trial and tribulation, did something that is eternal, that nothing I could have done, only what he could do through his word. So God has a great plan for this generation. I will want you to know that. You don't need to be a fear if your kids are in public school, private school. It does not matter, because God's going to use them right where they're at if you'll pray. If you'll pray, oh God, bless my child, keep my child, make your face shine upon my child, be gracious to my child, you know. Pray for your child right wherever God places them, our sovereign God. He's going to work through them and use them. I mean, I was telling you in the break, we are seeing revival by the thousands on campuses, and it's the students who are praying for one another. Just like my daughter took four of her friends and began to pray before school, and they had a Winter Mountain Seminar, and that's where those 91 students, fellow students, fell on their faces and received Jesus. She was a part of that revival on that campus. And my one son would take his lunchtime on a public school campus, and he would witness to the students. So God has placed your child wherever they are for an incredible, incredible plan and a credible purpose. And we just need to keep on praying, never giving up. Even if you don't see answers, just keep on praying. God's ready to move on your behalf.
Absolutely. And sometimes, just like you said, he doesn't answer those prayers like we expected him to. He doesn't change our circumstances, but he changes us. He gives us new perspective. He reveals to us the way that he's working to refine our character. And that can be really hard. But having the prayer to do that is so important. And I know even in giving God's word to my kids, you know, walking into school when they're feeling afraid, just like you referenced school shootings, I don't think there's any kid that doesn't walk into school and that doesn't cross their mind and they think, what if? But it's okay to know, okay, my mom loves me and I know my parents are there for me and I know this doesn't happen a whole lot, but to be able to back that up, to say, walk with confidence and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And they can repeat that to themselves. That is really, really helpful. So why is the focus of Moms in Prayer specifically on schools? There's so many things to pray about. Why do you focus on schools? Where does that mission come from?
Well, our founder, Fern Nichols, she was burdened for her two oldest that were entering middle school. And I believe God allowed her to be burdened enough that she grabbed another woman and they began to pray specifically for the schools. And they began to see answers to prayer. And then it began to spread. This is God's will. This is God's ministry. I love that. It's his ministry. You know what is so amazing? I will pray for a student, like let's say they were in kindergarten. I may not see the answer of prayer until like recently a young man was like 38 comes up to me and hugs me, just received Jesus. He goes, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for never giving up on me. Each one of those students on that campus needs our prayer. Our mission is to impact children in school for Christ by gathering women together to pray worldwide. And our vision is every school in the world being covered in prayer so every child can be prayed for. I can you imagine? That must be God's heart. That must be his heart, that that child sitting in that class that doesn't have a praying mom or a praying dad who feels alone and lonely, we're praying for them. We take that yearbook. We pray for each child by name. Not one child in that school campus is not going to be prayed for. So this is God's ministry.
Well, Moms in Prayer is actually now in over 160 countries, which is just unbelievable. How have you seen prayer working all around the world?
It doesn't matter whether the women live, like, let's say, on top of garbage dumps, they witness God answer to prayer, or they're in the middle of a war, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's Israel, they're praying, they're witnessing God, or like in some countries, there's so much unrest, and it usually happens right before students are taking their finals. And if they can pass high school finals, they can get a good job. And as we pray, we watch those riots stop, and these students are able to take their exams and they're able to move up in their society and get a good job. We are just seeing it left and right. But I think some of my funnest is when a student wants to see, they know we're praying for them. Like I had Nick Hall call me and he says, Oklahoma, there's about 20 students. They want to do an event. Can you pray? They think it's going to be big. 59,000 people came to hear him share the gospel, and thousands of them received Jesus. So God is moving, but we have not because we ask not. If we don't pray for this generation, it's going to go one way or the other. You know, we're watching society change all over the world, but as we pray, we are witnessing revival and spiritual awakening, and it's really, truly up to us. What are we going to do? Just like with your grandma. Your grandma would not give up. She kept praying.
That's right. Absolutely. And we are going to keep praying and keep talking about praying when we come back after the break. Listen to remember that this week is Truth for Youth Bible Week, and you can buy a Bible to send to a kid in school who needs it. Go to TFY, that's Truth for Youth, TFY.org to find out more and help us reach our goal of 60,000 Bibles. We'll see you more on the other side of this break.
The American Family Association, informing, equipping, and activating to transform American culture.
After the resurrection, when Jesus was given all authority in heaven and on earth, he commissions his disciples to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded them.
We at the American Family Association seek to aid the church in our great commission.
When you hear this, This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
It's so unusual, well, it's frightening. You see right through the mess inside me. And you call me out to pull me in. You tell me I can start again. And I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go. No matter what I do. And it's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known. Fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you.
Welcome back, friends. That song is Known by Taryn Wells. And listen, God knows you. He sees you. He loves you. He knows every worry and care and concern of your heart. And he invites you to take his yoke because it's easy and his burden is light. And as a nation, we are burdened for kids who are going to school, who are facing challenges that we just never had to face when we were growing up. The world has changed. It's a scarier place. It seems like every day there's some new kind of threat we couldn't have even imagined. But we also know that Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And we know that in this world we will have trouble, but we can take heart and we can be of good cheer because God has overcome the world and we have access to God's power through prayer. That's what we're talking about today with Sally Burke, the president of Moms in Prayer International. And we're talking specifically about praying for kids who are in school. And, you know, I think that there are a lot of parents out there, Sally, who are just really afraid. They are just fearful to send their kids to school. I mean, I see it because it comes out in a lot of debates about should kids have cell phones in school or not. And when parents say they want them to have phones in school, the number one reason is if anything happens, if anything bad happens, I want to be able to get in touch with you. And it can be really hard. So how do we entrust our children to the Lord through prayer and just leave them there and say, like, okay, Lord, they're yours? That's so much easier said than done.
Yeah, it is. But God created them. He fearfully and wonderfully made them. He will never leave them nor forsake them. So you're joining God in this journey that he created them for. And it's a mighty purpose and it's a mighty plan. And like I said earlier, right where he has them placed, he's going to work through them. So you're going to, as you pray, you're going to partner with God to fulfill that. It does not matter what comes against them because God is greater. You're going to teach them as you pray, as your personality will change. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to me. And the peace that's beyond all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Our part is to give him our fears, our worries, our children. His part is to give us that peace that's beyond understanding. He will guard us and he will fulfill what he has planned. So we join with God. Whatever campus they're stepping into, that's a divine moment in time. And you get to pray for them, their friends, their teachers. And it always amazes me when that student understands that you've been praying for them. I never, when they thank me, I got a note from a student that was in college, and she sent it to me and our Moms in Prayer group. It was a Mother's Day card thanking us for praying for her. And that amazes me, but that gave her confidence, that gave her assurance that no matter what came against her, she would stand strong in the Lord and fulfill the plans he had for her. So that's why I say pray, partner with God on behalf of your child, and then you're going to get a heavenly view of what he's going to do. I know you are a teacher on college campuses, aren't you?
I am.
And you're an answer to prayer. There are a lot of Christian teachers on our public and private and charter schools. Well, they're an answer to prayer, too. So as we pray for them, as we pray for our children find favor in the teacher's eyes, the Christian teachers, our Christian students, have a greater impact on that campus than any evil will ever have it.
Well, you know, I think that when parents say that, they're like, okay, yes, I see that, I understand that, but what about, you know, if they're trying to send their kid to a school they're paying for, will we have the finances to do that? Will their worldview be compromised? Will they be bullied? Will they have peer pressure? Will they be lonely? Will they struggle academically? Will there be a madman who comes on the campus? I mean, there's just still, I feel like these fears are just really choking out the heart of parenting, and we are fear driven instead of faith informed. And so, Sally, I would love for us just to put in action. I would love for you to pray right now for those parents who are feeling fearful about sending their kids to school. Maybe they're even going to homeschool and they're fearful. Can I do this? Can I be a teacher? There's so much fear around that. Will you pray for those parents who are feeling fear?
Oh, I'd love to. Oh, Sovereign Lord, you know exactly what you're doing in each and every one of these children, their school campuses, these parents, Father. You tell us if we lack knowledge just to ask you, and you freely give us that wisdom, that discernment, that insight. Father, God Almighty, I do pray that each one of these parents would call upon you, Father. They would ask you to fill them with wisdom, to fill them with peace. Lord, as they pray to you, you will transform their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But Father, I also ask that they'll pray with others so they don't feel alone, to have that other woman come alongside of them and pray for them, Father, to witness the power of God. The enemy would love us to hide out alone, but yet, God, you tell us where two or more gathered, you're in their midst. And you, God Almighty, we pray will be glorified in each and every listener's hearts, minds, and soul, and each and every child that goes to school, Father, that they will transform their campuses for Christ. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sally, thank you so much for that. And, you know, it's often scripture memory is another one of our habits that we have been working on for 52 Healthy Habits. Memorizing scripture is one of the greatest investments you can make in your prayer life and that you can make in your parenting. And one of the verses I've memorized this year comes from Psalm 27:1. I can quote it, but it's a prayer. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Another one from Psalm 56:3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, and God, whose word I praise, and God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? And having some of these scriptures memorized, I think it's just such an important spiritual discipline that will equip our kids to go and to not feel like they have to operate from fear, but they can operate from faith. That is so important. But you know, there's a lot of obstacles to prayer. Some people say, I don't have time, or I get distracted. Or what are some of the obstacles that you see people struggling with, or what maybe have you struggled with, and how did you overcome it?
I think busyness. But we think about God Almighty, who holds the heavens and the earth into being, wants to meet with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to show us. He wants to lead us and guide us. He's our shepherd. You know, you think about it, he leads us on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us beside still waters. He has us to lay down in green pastures. When I think God wants to meet with me, how could I miss that? But prayer can be taken everywhere. When I'm driving, I'm praying. I can even pray at the gym, as long as I set my mind upon him. You know, he tells us over and over again, I love how you memorize scripture. That's vital. As you pray scripture, you'll memorize scripture too. But that transforms your mind. That helps you. Our mind quickly will go to fear. That's just, but as your mind's being transformed, as you praise him, as you thank him, you're transforming your mind. And scientists have seen this. They can take an MRI of a person who's praising, thanking God, and dopamine, the feel-good neurotransmitter, begins mm-hmm. to move in their brain, and joy fills that. So that's a mighty weapon, too, against the enemy. I used to pray with my four kids. I mean, it was like 2 years old all the way up to 12. They'd come into my room. We'd go through the four steps of prayer. We would pray together, and we would praise God. A silent confession, because if our kids began confessing, they'd hold it against each other. And then Thanksgiving. And then we would pray for one child each day, and then and my husband, too. So 5 days a week, they were my prayer partners. And that's why I think they could confidently go on that school campus and impact it, because they were prayed up. They prayed with me. And then I would go to my mom's and prayer group and continue in prayer. And to this day, I pray everywhere, grocery store. There's no place. As soon as a fear comes to my mind, I'm like, God, search me and know me. See where there may be anxious way within me. And as soon as I see why I'm worried, and it's usually because I feel like I'm not in control. This world is crazy.
Oh, that never happens to me.
Yeah. But God has it. God doesn't go, oh, no, no. What was I thinking placing Sally here? He has it. You know, I may be clueless, but God is not clueless. He knows each moment of each day. When we think about God has ordained our days, that word ordained means divine appointments. So every single day we have divine appointments in front of us. And so we need to hear God's voice, just like Isaiah did. After he confessed sins, you know, he could hear God's voice. Whom shall I send? And he says, here I am, Lord. Send we me. Want to hear God's voice.
Yeah, absolutely. We really do. And I think that busyness is really hard, because if you have an iPhone, like most people in America do, you can look at your screen time and you can look and see exactly how many minutes you spent on social media or spent scrolling the news. You can think about watching your favorite news program if you're watching it on the TV. I mean, there's so many places that we can think, yeah, I had 2 hours to do that, but I didn't have 5 minutes to pray. I mean, that is just deeply convicting. And I think, Sally, sometimes, you know, we have to really look at how we're integrating prayer into our lifestyle. And we think, okay, well, I didn't go on my closet and, you know, stay on my knees and have unfocused, you know, have completely focused time where I was undistracted for an hour. But if you're integrating prayer, just exactly like you just described, being in the grocery store and having that anxious thought and just stopping right there and having an ongoing conversation with God, search me, oh God, know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any wicked way in me. I think about that when I open my eyes. My first thought is, good morning, Lord, what do you have for me today? And yes. Then we have an ongoing conversation throughout the day. But, you know, we're talking obviously about moms in prayer here, Sally, but we need dads in prayer. We need grandpas in prayer. We need neighbors in prayer. We need everybody in prayer. And I would love for you just to encourage that person who thinks, you know, I need to pray, but this situation is so far gone. It's been so long since I talked with the Lord. It's been so, I have not prayed about that. I don't know. What would you say to encourage them?
I love the story we all do of the prodigal son, where the father ran to him. He ran to them. And so that's what I want you to think. If you haven't talked to God in a while, he's running towards you. Just turn around. Turn around and be face-to-face with him. Let him embrace you. Let him love you. Open up the word. That's how we pray, God's word. There's no scripture that we can't pray. I mean, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, where we can praise him for that. As a young mom, I'd wake up in the morning, the baby would wake up. I had four kids. And so I learned to pray as I washed dishes. I would pray over them. As I folded clothes, I prayed over them. So if you're a man, you know, and you have loved ones in, a woman, you have loved ones, we're all either a man or a woman, and we have others we need to pray for, open up God's word, start reading it, and just pray God's scripture back to you, and he'll unfold the meaning of what he wants to do in that person's life. Is there somebody you're mad about? Pray for them. Is there somebody that, you know, has discouraged you or that you want to give up? Keep on praying. Just like the story of you and your sister. I love that story. Don't give up. Don't give up. God is just waiting for you, patiently waiting for you, and then he'll run and embrace you as soon as you turn right toward him.
Love it, love it, love it. Well, Sally, where can our audience go to connect with you and find out more about Moms in Prayer International?
Momsinprayer.org. And there's a woman just waiting to invite you in. Don't wait. Go running to our website, momsinprayer.org, and you'll be connected with a local mom that lives close to you, so you can begin this journey. Your life will be forever changed and touched by the hand of God as you join us at Moms in Prayer, just as mine did. And thank you. The radio station has changed our lives. After I got saved, I would turn on the Christian radio and I would listen to it continually. So thank you for what you do and proclaiming God's truth and his word out there to the listeners. What a gift you guys are. So thank you.
This radio show, ironically, Sally, is an answer to prayer I didn't even know I prayed. I prayed that God would use me in a way to encourage parents. I didn't know it was going to be through a radio show, but here we are. We'll go to Moms in Prayer. And if you're not a mom, but you know a mom, who especially a mom who's sending kids back to school, tell her about it. Tell her about it. Send it to her. Send her the link. Send a text message, a phone call. That would be really, really important. And don't forget about Truth for Youth Bibles, tfy.org. You can order online anytime and give a Bible and give God's word to a student who needs it. We'll be back tomorrow with Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. Listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And keep praying. I'll see you back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.